today on Life Talk.
God wouldn't say, have the same attitude in you that was also in Jesus Christ if it was unattainable, if you could not do it. He wouldn't tell us to do it, because the Bible says, I can do all things. If he tells you to do it, you can do it in him. I don't care what it is. If he tells you to do it, you can do it in him.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
You know, one day it occurred to me as I was reading Paul's description of Jesus out of the book of Philippians, that Jesus was the most unselfish man that ever lived. Everything he did flowed out of a totally unselfish attitude. This really spoke to me in a strong way when I realized that was a part of Paul's admonition to all Christians to have the mind in you that was in Jesus Christ. The word mind in that verse can be translated attitude. As Jesus lived with an unselfish attitude, so should we. Jesus was never full of himself, but emptied himself, going from Godhead to manhood to servanthood, all the way to the cross. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that our society is a get ahead, look out for number one, rise to the top at all costs, be a winner and take no prisoners kind of world. We don't view unselfishness as a desirable trait in this day and age. And yet that is exactly what God's will is for us. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, an unselfish attitude.
Philippians 2 verse 3, we're talking about attitude. I told you last time that Jesus had an attitude. Now, I don't mean that negatively, I mean it positively. He had an attitude that we're told to emulate. So I want to read this, Philippians 2 verse 3, because all of you today walked in here with an attitude. You've got an attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, you've got an attitude. That can be bad or good. Turn to your spouse and say, you've really got an attitude. I might not should have said that one. We don't want any fighting in the house of God. But now, let's look at Philippians 2, verse 3, and I'm going to read through verse 8. This is talking about Jesus' attitude. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. What's verse 5 say? Read it. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Verse 6, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Amazing what we just read. Now, when you read these verses, you got to think this was written to a church. Paul wrote this to the Philippian church. So based on these verses, I can assume some things, and so can you. This church was having some problems relationally, or he wouldn't have written these things. There was a problem here. They were conflicted. They were in disagreement. They weren't loving each other, and they were not unified. Sounds like a typical church to me. Typical American church. Not here, but we hear about it all the time, don't we? Now, the primary culprit was selfishness. And I want you to know today, this message is talking about an unselfish attitude, the unselfishness of Jesus. And I've been around long enough to see that most conflicts, marital, political, doesn't matter where the conflicts are happening, most conflicts have selfishness as the root cause. Think about that if you're married. Selfish people don't stay married long. You got to get rid of selfishness and become unselfish. But here in the Philippian church, the primary culprit was selfishness. There were some in the congregation who were self-seeking, and there were some that were ego-tripping. So Paul is giving the church a spiritual prescription. I love the Apostle Paul. He said, here's the problem, here's the solution. Here's the spiritual prescription from Dr. Paul. Here it is. Pattern your relationships after Jesus. Pattern your marriage relationship after Jesus. Your friendships after Jesus. Your work relationships after Jesus. Look at Jesus and pattern the way you relate to people after him, because you don't have a better example than Jesus. Now, that said, what was Jesus' attitude? If I'm supposed to have his attitude, what was his attitude like? Well, for Jesus, the way up was down. The opposite of the way our culture thinks. We're told this about him. He did not demand his own rights be catered to. He laid down his heavenly position of power in order to serve. He gave up what he had in order to serve others. He put others before himself. How often does that happen in relationships? He put others before he put himself. When he had a need and they had a need, he picked their needs and met their needs instead of his own. Going all the way to the cross, which is incomprehensible because they hung God on the cross in the person of Jesus. And he did it so that we could be redeemed even while we were rejecting him. So Jesus gave up his own desires. Father, if it's your will, please let me dodge this cross. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he went all the way to the cross, choosing you and me over himself. He was totally unselfish. Now, theologians call this the kenosis, or the self-emptying of Jesus. He emptied himself. He was never full of himself like human beings tend to be, but he emptied himself. Going from godhood to manhood to servanthood to the cross. This continual spiral down so that he could meet our needs of salvation, redemption, deliverance, healing. He gave his back to the smiter's whip so that our body could be healed. He chose you and me over himself every time. He was completely unselfish. If Jesus had had a middle name, his middle name would be Unselfish. Unselfish. So when you talk about the attitude of Jesus, have this attitude in you that was in Jesus, we're talking about an unselfish attitude. We're talking about being unselfish. We've all heard of somebody drinking themselves to death or drugging themselves to death or working themselves to death. But you know what? Jesus humbled himself to death through his unselfish attitude. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. He emptied himself in the greatest act of unselfishness in the history of the world. Nobody has ever committed or executed an act of unselfishness greater than when Jesus went to the cross. Nobody will ever match it. Totally, completely emptied himself in an unselfish act of pure, undiluted, industrial strength, love. Now, the advice that Paul gives to the church is totally opposite to the message of our culture. When he tells us to be unselfish, that's not the message of our culture. Because in our culture, we worship narcissists. Let me just give you a couple of names. Kardashians. You know, I'm too busy keeping up with Jesus to keep up with the Kardashians. But let me just tell you that you talk about narcissists. They have made millions of dollars off of selfies. Or how about movie stars? You know, in my book, there's no stars but one, the Bright and Morning Star. I don't see any human being as a star. We're all the same. But we worship these narcissistic movie stars. We worship them. We need to get out of that. I don't worship any human being. I worship the Son of God. Now, our society is a get ahead, look out for number one, rise to the top at all costs, be a winner, take no prisoners kind of world. It is not an unselfish culture. It's very, very selfish. We don't even view unselfishness as a desirable trait in this day and age. And yet that's exactly what God's will for us is, to have the attitude in us that Jesus Christ had. Let this attitude be in you that was also in Jesus Christ. Let this attitude, this mindset, this worldview, the lens through which you see the world needs to be an unselfish lens Let that attitude, putting others above yourself, serving others, giving up your own conveniences for somebody else, let that attitude be in you. It was also in Jesus Christ. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. Now, when I read that, I'm going to contrast it to a study I read about this week. I couldn't believe this study, but it's true. I read this study, and it made me think about all of this that I was going to be speaking on today. It revealed that most people have a clear, hands-down favorite topic for most of their conversations: themselves. It said that on average, people spend 60% of their conversations talking about themselves. And are you ready? This won't surprise you. And it jumped up to 80% when communicating through Twitter or Facebook. 80% on Twitter or Facebook is all about me. It's sort of like, that's enough about me, now let's talk about me. It's all about me. We go on Facebook, I'll never understand this. You go on Facebook for the whole world to see and hang all your dirty laundry. Not me, dude. I don't want the world knowing my stuff. And you know what? I don't want to know your stuff. But that's another topic. Some people need to wash their face book. That's free. Another study revealed the reason we like talking about ourselves so much is because it feels good. Seriously. Researchers from Harvard found that when people talk about themselves, the parts of the brain associated with motivation and reward light up, just like when a person eats fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, pizza, or a hit of cocaine. Harvard said that. I didn't say it. But when you talk about yourself, it releases the same brain chemicals as are released when you eat a Papa's pizza. Is it Papa's? Papa John's. I don't eat much pizza. So here's the deal. The conclusion is we love talking about ourselves because it feels good and we're all into ourselves. But let this attitude be in you. It was also in Christ Jesus who put others before himself. One more study found that listening to someone else was like doing squats, while talking about yourself was like eating a cinnamon bun. So we don't like listening to others, which is bad for your marriage and bad for your friendships. We don't like listening to others near as much as we like talking about ourselves. And folks, that is not the attitude that was in Jesus Christ. So the Bible's advice for us to get over ourselves and consider others more important than ourselves totally contradicts the message of our culture, which is narcissistic and selfish to the core. But the good news is, God wouldn't tell us to do something if we couldn't do it. I'm going to say that again. God wouldn't say, have the same attitude in you that was also in Jesus Christ if it was unattainable. If you could not do it, he wouldn't tell us to do it. Because the Bible says, I can do. Everybody say with me, I can do. All things, particularly what he tells you to do. If he tells you to do it, you can do it in him. I don't care what it is. If he tells you to do it, you can do it in him. Including changing a selfish attitude. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me to do what God said do.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
So then how do we personally experience walking in the unselfish attitude that was also in Jesus Christ? How many of you, listen, the more unselfish you are, can I just give you some news here? The more unselfish you are, the happier you will be. I have never known ever a happy, selfish person. But I've known a lot of happy, unselfish people who put others above themselves. Isn't that funny? When you empty yourself out and give yourself to others and put on the attitude of Jesus Christ, you get happier. When it's all about you and your Godhead is me, myself, and I, then you're miserable. You're not a happy person because your needs are never met. There's never enough. You're always wanting something else. So first, if I want the attitude that is in Jesus Christ, what do I have to do? Okay, the Bible tells us something that we wouldn't expect. But here's what the Bible tells us to do. It says we are to, by faith, put it on. Now let me just read it to you. In Romans, it says this, put on. I want you to say this with me. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on. Put on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The Bible literally tells us that we should put on the right attitude like we would put on a coat, which I'm going to do in just a minute. Walking in Jesus' unselfish attitude is a faith choice. It's a faith choice that you make many times a day. It's an intentional act of faith where we dress ourselves with his attitude. Everybody say again with me, put it on. We are just simply told when it comes to Jesus Christ and all that comprises Jesus Christ, and I can give it to you, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith. That is a list of character attributes we are to have, but it sums up who Jesus was. He was love. He had joy. He had peace. He was long-suffering. He was gentle. He was meek. He was kind. He was perfect faith. It says, put it on. Now, what I hear there is it's not going to come put you in a headlock and make you experience it, but we are to, by faith, put it on. Let me just give you an example. This morning, I stood in my closet looking at various things I could wear, and I had to think it through, just like you did. Do I wear this with that? Or that with this. Now you're really checking me out. Does this match with that? Or that look better with this? So I thought through what I would wear, as most of you do several times a week. We stand in the closet and we go through a few minutes of figuring out what we're going to wear. Some of you ladies, you take an hour. But that's okay. We've grown accustomed to that. We understand. Some of you guys, it doesn't take you any time at all. You've been wearing the same pants for 2 weeks. It doesn't matter. But just follow the illustration with me. So I thought through what I was going to wear. Isn't it funny how we put time and effort into what clothes we'll wear, but we never give a thought to what attitude we're going to put on that day. We don't even give a thought to it. We don't even think about it. As a matter of fact, we just put on whatever attitude we woke up with was usually not that good. But the Bible teaches us, catch this now, this is Bible teaching. The Bible teaches us to be intentional about what attitude we wear. Are you going to wear the attitude of Jesus Christ? Or are you going to wear some other attitude? We're commanded by faith, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, let me give you some news. If you don't choose your attitude every day, an attitude will choose you. I know that's right by what I experienced in rush hour traffic. Everybody out there, most everybody out there, didn't bother with putting on the attitude of Jesus Christ. You might be surprised how often the New Testament tells us to put on, as it were, our spiritual clothing every day. Listen to Colossians. Ready? Listen to Colossians. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Put them on. Just put them on. Put them on like you would get dressed. Put them on. Whereas in the old life, we wore the spiritual clothes of anger, greed, selfishness, evil desires, lust, hatred, all those things. That's the clothes we wore. That's what we were dressed in. That was what we walked in. But now, God has given us a brand new wardrobe when we got saved. He gave you a brand new wardrobe of spiritual clothes in your salvation closet. And they are compassion, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness. And the Bible says, above all, love, which we're told binds everything together in perfect harmony. We are to every day go into our salvation closet and look at those clothes and grab those clothes and put them on by faith. Put them on. Just simply put them on. Jeff, I just wish that God would drop it on me. Let me tell you something here. Gifts are sown. Fruit is grown. See, when I got saved, God gave me a gift. But it's taken years to grow fruit, grow spiritual fruit. The gift was sown, but the fruit is grown. You don't get the attitude of Jesus overnight. You get the attitude of Jesus over years. Amen? But everybody say, by faith, we're to put them on. Get dressed each and every day. We're also commanded to put some things off. It says in Ephesians 4:22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and it is corrupt through deceitful desire. So notice this. He's saying your old self, that ornery old self of yours that got in all that trouble, that was walking in sin, living in iniquity, that ornery old self, you are to put it off, which means lay it aside, put it down, detach yourself from it, like you would do an old coat. And then he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, the old self is that old man of sin, the old nature you had before getting saved. And it looked kind of like this. Now, for my radio listeners, I picked up an old, nasty, dirty trench coat that is making everybody grimace while I put it on. And I'm actually putting it on, and my congregation is looking at me strangely as I put it on. Here's the old life. This coat is a picture of the old life. It's dirty. It's nasty. You're not up here with me, but it's smelly. This is the old life. And you lived in this old life. This coat was buttoned up to the top. You lived in this old life. You lived in the power of sin. You did what the devil wanted you to do. You went where the devil wanted you to go. You lived in this old life. But when you got saved, God said, I've given you a new nature. Take it off. And this old coat, this old life, was crucified with him. Come on. And I put on a new coat. This right here is cashmere. I'm putting on cashmere. I put on a new coat, a new life. Now here's the deal. Follow with me. This really, really matters. The Bible tells us that while the old coat, the old man, doesn't have the same power over us, he still lurks in our soul looking for the chance to take charge. He can be put off, like I just took him off, but he is not snuffed out. He will be there lurking in the shadows till the day you go to heaven. But here's the deal. Before I was saved, I had no choice. I had to wear that old coat. I had to wear it everywhere I went. It was me. It was attached to me, glued to me. It was part of me. Jesus had to give me a new nature. So I had no choice but to wear it. But now that I'm saved, I have a choice. I am to walk in the newness of life. This coat, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith, the attitude of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, by faith, put off the old man. Simply take him off. You don't have to lose your temper anymore. You don't have to lust anymore. You don't have to walk in those old habits anymore. They are all attached to the old coat that was crucified with Jesus Christ when he died. I am crucified with Christ. Everybody say it with me. I'm crucified with Christ. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. See, this old life, this old coat, when he says put it off and put the new one on, it's just like me taking off that coat and putting on the new one. And every day when I get into the Word of God and spend time with God, what I'm doing is I am making sure that I walk out the door wearing this one and not wearing this one.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.